It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As we continue our series, Arguing with God, we have yet another question. Why do bad things happen to good people? This is an age-old question. On one hand, some argue that if God is powerful enough to stop the bad, but doesn't, then he cannot be good. On the other hand, others argue that God may desire good, but he is not powerful enough to bring it about. Perhaps he just doesn't care. Perhaps he hasn't got the ability to deal with the problem. All of these arguments discredit the character of our God. What if the issue is not so simple? The Bible reveals that God is all good and that he is all powerful, yet bad things still happen to good people. How are we to understand this? Well, have you ever read the biblical book of Job? In the first two chapters, we read of a good man who had a wife, 10 children, and great wealth. In one day, all his children were killed in a catastrophic windstorm. All his wealth was stripped away by raiders. And then he lost his health, suffering a mass of painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. The advice of Job's wife was, "Curse God and die." Job was visited by 3 friends and later a 4th, named Elihu, who proceeded to engage in long discussions to discover why these calamities happened to Job. These speeches are recorded for us in Job chapters 3 to 37. One thing that the reader knows, but Job and his friends do not, is that something bigger is going on behind the scenes, something that we discovered in Job 1 to 2. Throughout this ordeal, Job refuses to disobey God or give up his trust and hope in him. In Job 13, verse 15, he's heard to say, "Though he, God, slay me, I will hope in him, yet I will argue my ways to his face." Job argues with God, holding back nothing. Job maintains that he has done nothing to deserve his intense suffering, and he repeatedly calls on God to explain what is happening. The arguments of Job's friends, presumed to speak for God, and as they see it, condemn Job's attempts at self-justification. Their arguments are still popular today. One argument is this: if a person suffers, that must be the result of bad things that person has done. If a person experiences good, that's the result of good things they've done. In Job 21, Job undermines this simplistic approach by stating that if it is an invariable divine formula that good is returned for good and evil for evil, why then do good things happen to bad people? Elihu and the 3 friends think they know why Job is suffering and presume to speak for God. But they're wrong in this. In this context, biblical scholar William Lesore writes, quote, "Nothing is more frustrating and restricting than to set up rules for God and then wonder why he does not follow them," end quote. In the end, the Lord answers, vindicates, and restores Job. We read about that in chapters 38 to 41. When I read Job again, I began to get a glimmer of how bad things can happen to good people. Yes, God is all good and all powerful, yet he allows bad things to happen. Although this is only a partial answer, we can still see something of God's purposes. And here's 5 things you can learn from Job. First, your understanding of God can grow through the times of suffering and discomfort. God is God, and we're not. Among other things, this means that God's ways are beyond our comprehension. At the end of his ordeal, Job's declaration to the Lord is this: "I know that you can do all things, and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted." In this, Job acknowledged at least 2 wonderful things. 1, the Lord is intensely interested and involved in our lives, even in our times of suffering. Even though God was silent throughout Job's dark night of the soul, he was always lovingly present. 2, God is greater in every way than we can imagine. Through his ordeal, Job learned things about God he would never have learned apart from the ordeal. So the first thing is that our understanding of God will grow through times of suffering and discomfort. Second, our understanding of suffering can grow. In our modern Western culture, suffering is viewed frequently as something to be avoided or to be fixed. We are uncomfortable, even confused, when texts such as James 1 verse 2 say, "Count it all joys, my brother and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds." How can this be? On the matter of suffering, Ajith Fernando, a Sri Lankan Christian, writes, quote, "One of the most serious theological blind spots in the Western church is a defective understanding of suffering. There seems to be a lot of reflection on how to avoid suffering and what to do when hurt. We have a lot of teaching about escape from and therapy for suffering. But there is an adequate teaching about the theology of suffering. Christians are not taught why they should expect suffering as followers of Christ and why suffering is so important for healthy growth as a Christian. So suffering is viewed only in a negative way. The good life, comfort, convenience, and a painless life have become necessities that people view as basic rights. If they do not have these, they think something has gone wrong. So when something like inconvenience or pain comes, they do all they can to avoid or lessen it. One of the results of this attitude is a severe restriction of spiritual growth, for God intends us to grow through trials." That's Ajith Fernando of Sri Lanka. Although Job couldn't see or understand it at the time, God had a purpose for his suffering. Three, our understanding of life can grow. Our modern Western culture has also trained us in a defective understanding of life. One of these aspects is that we see death as the end of life. We only have a life that is 70 or whatever. But Job makes this startling statement in chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. "After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." This is the promise of resurrection demonstrated in Jesus Christ. And that should convince us that life continues beyond physical death. What happens here and now is not measured against a lifespan of decades. It is measured against a lifespan of unending millennia. Life does not end with death. Put another way, death is not the end of life. Beginning to acknowledge your real lifespan helps to put present ordeals in a much different and eternal perspective. Fourth, our understanding of self can grow. Now, I tread softly and carefully here. In no way do we make light of suffering or reduce its pain. Neither do we encourage a morbid and unhealthy desire for suffering. Here's what Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 3 to 4. "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." This echoes Job's development through his ordeal. The same can be true for you. And fifth, our understanding of others can grow. One thing that I learned from Job's experiences is not to be like his friends. Sometimes the cause of suffering is clear, but more often than not, it isn't clear. So I should neither presume to know what caused the suffering of another, nor to speak for God as Job's friends did. My posture should be one of prayer, availability, and compassion. What are those 5 points again in conclusion? We still don't have a complete answer for the opening question, but we do have some insights into how God uses suffering. Sufferings, trials, difficulties. Call them what you want. For now, these are ways in which we can grow in at least 5 areas, our understanding and experience of God and his ways, our understanding and experience of suffering and its fruit, of life and its richness, of self and our maturity, of others and their benefit.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.